Welcome to a new edition, a new 10-Minute Game Misconduct. I'm CT, here with Dory.
Hello.
And don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter, at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. And you can also go to Game Miz Conduct, that's Miz with a Z Conduct.com to catch up on any episodes that you may have missed.
Yeah, because we're really putting them out pretty much every day after a game. So
yes,
there's a lot.
So we were looking at the start times for games for this series, and they're all in the evening. So the next day you'll have a new episode of us breaking down the game, because let's be real, I'm struggling to stay up past 10:30 to see the end of the game because I'm old.
Yeah. Well, and and it's later when you're waiting for post game and Brian Burns's game report and the Zoom link from the Lightning. It's up half the night.
Yep. So, just heads up on that. And we may have a special edition of Game Misconduct Bubble Hockey Edition tomorrow, Tuesday. So make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss any episodes that come out. Also, write us a review. Tell us what you think. We'd love to hear what you have to say. All right. I think we've gone over all the business. Now let's talk some hockey. All right, Dory. Game one, Tampa Bay versus Boston. Again, I tweeted this out from our account. It's so nice to see Sonya Bryson sing the national anthem before games. It just makes me feel like we're all in the arena together. Back when we could all be in an arena together.
It's weird to hear her sing O Canada, though.
It is, but she does a nice job with it. She does a very nice job with it.
Beautiful.
So it was
on that note.
And she got on national television on prime time.
And you know what? That segues into something. Usually, and most people that listen to our show know this, but I watched the game, but listened to Dave and Phil.
Right.
However, I did not do that last night. I did go to power play for intermissions post game. I am so crazy about Doc Emmerich and Eddie Olczyk. In the third period, Doc Emmerich did a lovely shout out to Rick Peckham.
Yes.
Beautiful, because he's a treasure.
He is.
Doc Emmerich is a treasure. I'm not going to say national treasure, because I think a continental treasure.
A treasure of hockey and sports commentating.
Yeah, but you know what I found really strange? Not Sonya Bryson singing O Canada, because she's done that before, I believe.
Yeah.
And I thought it was kind of weird then, like, oh, we're just not used to this, because she's a retired staff sergeant in the Air Force.
Right.
But what's weird to me is when the Lightning are the home team and Boston scores, that they play Boston's goal song and the cheering. And I found that
it seemed
that
like the Boston
weird.
Cheering was louder than the Lightning cheering when they got the one goal. I'm just saying.
It did.
But I'm not there.
I thought it was weird. I thought if we're going to do this make-believe, which
we're
it
in
is,
Tampa.
Yeah, which it is a home and away, because you have said previously that the home coaches get the last look at the lineup type of thing. But if we're going to really do it, then why are we playing the Boston songs and cheers when they score?
I agree.
And I wonder. I was sitting there thinking about the players. Like,
it's got to be a mind screw.
How weird is that? I want to know. Does that get in their head at all?
But I also wonder if they even notice, pay attention to it.
I think they notice. We watched them. You can see them looking up at the Jumbotron. Yeah.
So well, that's because they want to see what happened, how they got the goal and everything. But I don't know if they – I don't know. One of the other things
I
did hear,
I
think it was one of the players on maybe another team or – I've been watching so much hockey lately. I don't know who said it. But apparently because it's so much quieter in the arena, like when – guys would always talk to each other on the ice and really have to yell, but apparently you can really hear everything on the ice and there's a lot more talking going on. I found that interesting. But
the game itself.
Well, it just when Doc Emmerich, Eddie Olczyk, I was really happy to not see Mike Milbury on our call. That's all I'm going to say, and I'm going to walk away from it.
Okay. Brian Boucher was the third member of that team.
Yes.
I thought he did a nice job as well. There were a few times, and listen, I'm just like, you know, things I noticed, because I am a major Eddie Olczyk fan.
I know you are.
I love Eddie Olczyk.
And then you had Patrick Sharp on the intermission reports. You were just yesterday.
I was listening to Dave and Phil.
But you were watching Patrick Sharp on mute.
He's
special.
Moving on. It professional.
Yep.
A couple times Eddie would say, try to get Brian's Boucher's take on it. And mm-hmm. he'd like, you know, Brian or Boosh. And it like, he wasn't saying anything back. And I was like, oh, I wonder if he like doesn't have anything to add. You know, it's kind of a newer type.
Yeah.
Of, you know, part, you know, grouping.
Partnership. Yeah.
Yeah. But I thought they did a great job. The game. I'm going to say something that is not a popular opinion.
Okay.
For those in Tampa Bay. I didn't think it was that bad. I actually enjoyed the game.
Really?
Some people are saying it was boring and this. I did not think it was that bad of a game. I think they had 30 to 35 minutes of looking very disjointed. Yeah. I don't think they were flat, but the passes weren't very crisp. The forecheck was a little off. The defense was great. Even when the offense wasn't getting anything going, the defense was super aggressive in the first period, mm-hmm. and I enjoyed that. However, here's why I'm thinking it's not that bad. Boston did something. They did two things specifically, and I don't know if, you know, who else, because I don't really go on Twitter during the games. I kind of just want to be in my own world. Mm-hmm. Halleck was not giving up second chances. Halleck.
Yep.
What did I call him? Halleck?
Halleck.
Halleck. Halleck. Halleck. Halleck. Was not giving them second chance opportunities. He was covering the puck a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Second, they weren't getting second chance opportunities because when Halleck did not cover the puck, there were three bodies, Boston bodies, in front of their goal protecting Halleck through most of the game. That's very smart, because when you look at back at the Tampa Bay goals throughout the playoffs, a lot of them were second chance. So they took that away from the Lightning.
Right. But I feel like Columbus was doing that in the first couple games against Tampa. And like, I just don't feel like our guys were at the front of the net like they had been doing in the last couple games against Columbus. Like, I know they're different teams, but it's like, go to the net, guys. Like, if there are three Boston players, we should have three Lightning players near the net.
Yeah. I think that they were trying just to get through those bodies out there in front of Halleck, and they're going to protect him. And that's what, you know, we would want our guys to do if, you know, when Vasi first started for us. Right. Yeah. So I think they took away second chance opportunities. There's nothing the Lightning can do about that. They can't move these guys out in front of their own, you know, that net. It's not happening. It doesn't work like that. You can do it in front of your own net, but you can't do it there. The second thing, and I can't believe I'm going to say this. I really can't believe I'm going to say this. Brad Marchand.
Oh, God.
Yep. Brad Marchand is such a pot stirrer and such a little pest. And the Lightning, I think, were waiting for that. And they didn't get that. They got Brad Marchand, the very good hockey player.
Yeah, from the World Championships or whatever a couple years ago.
I hate saying it. He was outstanding in that game.
He is a great hockey player when he just plays hockey.
That's all he did.
Yeah.
And it's almost like looking back to those March games, March 5th, March 7th, mm-hmm. oh my gosh. It's almost like the game plan was, hey, Marchand, just play hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Because that will throw them off. And it felt like they were a little, I don't know, I don't want to say timid, but it was almost like they were waiting. They were waiting for him to be Brad Marchand. And
Pat Maroon can just push him in the corner and then get some energy up. Yeah.
Marchand had a phenomenal game. He really did. I don't like saying it. I don't mind saying that about Patrice Bergeron, because I think he's kind of a nice guy.
No, or Pastrnak. Yeah, I mean, they're great hockey players. But yeah, I mean, that, I don't remember if it was the World Championships or the Olympics or whatever it was, but there was one competition where Brad Marchand was playing for Team Canada, and he was amazing. He had so many goals. He was like the talk of the competition. And I think it was the following season that we had the face licking situation. I feel like it. And I'm just like, this guy is a very talented hockey player when he just plays hockey. But I felt like for a long time, Boston coaching staff, it was like, hey, you're really good at stirring the pot. So, you know, do that more, make that your game. But when he's allowed to just play hockey and be a skilled player, he's a very talented hockey player when he just plays hockey. And so,
last night in game one, he just played hockey.
Yeah.
And they both, Coach Cassidy, Coach Cooper, both talked about this is going to be, and the players, you know, did two on both sides. This is going to be a physical game. Mm-hmm. This, we're getting a lot of, we're starting to have bad blood now. Mm-hmm. We're now a, you know, division rivalry. We're a bona fide rivalry now. It's going to be physical. It's going to be tough.
Well,
both said that.
Yeah. Well, and
then you have the one guy that always causes problems. That's always a pain in the butt. Just play hockey. And I think the Lightning were like ready for a fight, and he didn't bring one.
It's interesting.
So I just don't think it was that bad of a game. I think the 25, 30 minutes where they did play well was really, really that, in 15 minutes of the second period was fantastic by the Lightning.
Yeah.
And parts of the third period. I just don't get the, I feel it was a learning loss.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what this was. I don't feel bad about it.
Well, it's a long series. I mean.
Yeah. And I feel like they learned some things about Hollick, which they needed to learn. I don't care. I'm just going to call him.
How about call him Yaroslav?
Yaroslav. Is that easier? I'm just going to call him that. How about Slobby?
Slobby?
Slobby H. I also go Marshawn. It depends.
Well, I'm not even sure if anybody knows how to say it.
Exactly. I think they got a good look at the goalie. Mm-hmm. I think they saw what Boston's game plan could be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they got a side of Marshawn that they were not prepared. They were prepared. I really think they were prepared for a fight. Now, the other weird thing was they started with the Gord line.
Well, they've been starting with the Gord line every period, every game. It's been Gord, Goudreau, and
Coleman.
Yes. Yeah. They've been starting that line consistently.
I just thought it was strange in this series to do that.
Oh, I don't. I think that's the identity of the team. Like, we're going to outgrind you, we're going to outwork you, and we're going to push you around too. We're not afraid to push you around this season. And the commentators kept mentioning that too. Like, this is a different looking Tampa Bay Lightning team than last year. This is, you add Coleman, you add Goudreau, you add Maroon, and then all of a sudden you've got guys who aren't going to let you push them around. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to get in your face. They're going to intimidate you. They're going to go to the front of the net. And the national team mentioned that yesterday. So,
I mean, yeah.
And
Phil brought up after the game, Phil Esposito, like Phil, who's
we
Phil?
Know who
Our
he,
neighbor?
We know Phil. There's only one that, Phil that matters here.
There really is. That's why I just say Phil and assume everybody knows. He said something very interesting, and that was that the Lightning's fingerprints were on each of the Boston goals. It was mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
It was turnovers, and that's immediately led to Boston goals. Very interesting.
I'm a broken record. Fix your penalty. Fix the penalties. Clean up the penalties. But I also do think the officiating crew was really setting the bar early about, because like that one penalty, the first penalty on Boston was kind of like, oh, that's going to be the level of. I feel like the officiating crew was like, we're not going to put up with your crap. We're going to call this game evenly, and we're going to call everything that we see, even if it's a little tap.
And they did.
Right. So clean up the penalties, work on your special teams, stop the turnovers, play a full 60 minutes of hockey. And I'm not sure what the face-offs were this time.
Not good.
Yeah. So got to fix that. So that's special teams. And I feel like they were all the things that we said in the Columbus series.
Boston won 59% of face-offs. The Lightning won 42. That's not how math works, but that's what the NHL says.
So, and but like at the last game we played Columbus, they switched out Mitchell Stevens in Verhaeghe's spot because I guess Mitchell Stevens is a better faceoff person. He left-handed faceoff, I want to say. Don't hurt me if I'm incorrect. And I noticed Verhaeghe was back in this time. So I wonder if Stevens will be in for the next game. Because it seemed to have fixed a little bit of what we were seeing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, special teams, clean up the penalties, go to the front of the net. I think, I feel like that's the, no matter what team you play, I feel like that's the winning formula. But I'm not a coach.
Yeah.
I just watch it on TV. But I will say I was bored because I was looking through the internet looking for kitchen redesigning inspiration.
See, I keep seeing now everybody like that was a boring game, and I'm like,
it's kind of bored. The first,
I didn't think it was boring.
The first 10 minutes, I was screaming at my TV, "Get it together!" Because they just look sloppy. Like they didn't look like they were ready for a game. So, it's just it was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I just didn't think it was boring. I didn't think it was a bad game. Now maybe I was just, you know, really hyped for the series, but I think, and this is just what, you know, I'm watching, what I'm seeing and listening to and, you know, out there. I don't think the game one performance against the Bruins was nearly as bad as the game four and five against games four and five against the Blue Jackets. Maybe it was that now again, they played, let's just call it down the middle, right? So half the game, they did not look great. And the other half, they looked fantastic. The down part of their game, I don't think was, I think maybe was on the level of game two against Columbus, where it wasn't as much as the Lightning can do. It was like they gave about, like, it felt like they were given like, they were like 70% there. That's how I don't know. Maybe I'm in an alternate universe because everybody else thinks they were terrible. I don't think they were necessarily that bad. I don't think it was a bad game. I think it was, maybe I'm being very optimistic. Maybe that's it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Well, I mean, I think being optimistic is okay. If this was game two or three, I wouldn't be as optimistic. But being game one of a series, you know, in a bubble where nobody's traveling and there are two back-to-backs if we go to games six and seven. Like, there's a back-to-back for two and three and six and seven if needed. I'm like, when do we ever do that? But when they don't need to travel, I think they're just trying to keep games going and keep guys from maybe sitting around a little bit. Because I do think, but Boston also sat around too. So I don't know if, you know, the time off hurt or helped them. But Ryan McDonagh did leave the game in the third period, and there's no update on him as of this recording. So I'm hoping he's okay. He kind of collided with another guy on Boston in front of the net. And it didn't look like he got right back up. But then shortly after, when he was on the bench, he went to the dressing room. Maybe it was just because there was only 10 minutes left in the game and they're just you know, it's a long series.
Yeah. Although, Chara got a little banged around too, and he was doubled over it and then he couldn't get off the ice because of an icing call. And I was like, ooh, that's not good for Boston.
Yeah. So, I mean,
I just think we should remain positive.
Oh, absolutely. Like, no panic buttons are being hit.
Yeah.
I was just a little bored. I was just a little bored. I have to say it, just a little bored. Just a little bit bored on that one. But, you know, they'll figure it out. They'll adjust.
I think one thing I think they need to do as well, I think you hit all the points. I think at this point in the playoff series and against this team that we know very, very well, the stars have to show up.
That's something Sean Avery says all the time on his Instagram stories.
Oh.
Big now, players need to show up for big games.
And Victor Hedman did.
Oh, my gosh.
Because
he's one of those guys who just decides he's going to score. Be a superstar, Victor. He's one of those guys who just decides he's going to score. Mm-hmm. You know, and he does. Like, I think it was, they were commentating on TV. They were like, you know, Victor Hedman, he'll probably jump up in the play here because, you know, they got to be a little more aggressive. There wasn't a lot of time left. And literally within seconds of that, he scored a goal.
Also, I think it was Eddie O that called him the swift skating Swede.
Yes.
And I loved it. I was like, yeah, I love it. Because, you know, we, you know, we're so used to it. You know, we're really just so used to Victor Hedman, but when he's out there, he's a superstar.
He's a difference maker. That's for sure.
He's a difference maker. That's so sure. I think the points and the Kucherov, Phil Esposito wasn't thrilled with Kucherov's play.
Well, it's hard when you're being double and triple teamed. I mean, I feel like he was like, you know, the same thing happened to him in Columbus. And on the national call, they were talking a little bit about, can't remember if it was the national call or the morning skate conversation that they do on Sun Sports before every game at 11:30 in the morning with Rick Peckham, Chief, and I think it was Dave Anderchuk. And I can't remember if it was them or the national call guys who were talking about Steven Stamkos coming back or not. But what that'll do is open up Kucherov because you can't cover them both.
Yeah.
So for me, who's just like, we're okay. We don't need to mess up the mojo, you know, because it always takes a couple games for guys to get their feet under them. And we don't necessarily have a couple games for Steven Stamkos to get his feet under him. Not saying he's one of those guys, but traditionally it takes a couple games because he hasn't played in so long to get the rhythm back. I don't know that we have that kind of time, but it's an interesting point where if you bring another skilled player who, you know, can sit at the point and shoot from the other point, you got Kucherov on one point and you got Stamkos on another point, who are you going to cover double, triple team? You know, instead of double teaming Kucherov, you're just going to have one guy on him and one guy on Stamkos. So it opens him up a little bit more. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I see that, but I don't know. I'm happy I'm not a coach. That's all I can say.
Yeah. I think they can figure it out. I'm just going to, you know.
Leave it at that?
I'm just going to leave it at that. I didn't think it was that bad. I think there's a lot of positives to draw from.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, they just look like they were, like, ready to come out of their skin a little bit in the first 5 or 10 minutes. And, like, they were missing passes and they looked sloppy. But I also think it kind of speaks to what you said, where they were just kind of awaiting, you know, Marchand to kind of stir things up too. So
yeah.
Interesting.
No touchy feely stuff here. No moral victories here.
No. And you know what?
It was that bad.
I think Coach Cooper said that in his post game press conference, or, you know, it's like, you're going to learn from this win. It's, you know, kind of no moral victory kind of thing, which is true. Yeah. They got to be better. You know, they weren't bad, but they got to be better.
They got to be better.
And I think they can be better.
Keep the go-ahead play because that was working well. They were controlling the puck. They were controlling the neutral zone. They had possession when they were doing that. They went back to the east and west stuff, and goofy stuff happens. Bad things ensue.
Right.
Just keep ahead. Keep the aggressiveness with the defenseman.
The forecheck.
Because, my gosh, that really looked good.
Yeah.
Sergachev didn't irritate me at all. Not one time.
Yeah.
No,
I think I was kind of reading the body language on the Zoom after game press conference and Sergachev's body language. He looked like he was not happy. But you know, I'm just watching a video. It could have been, he's just exhausted. He played 60 minutes of hockey, a hockey game, but I don't think the players. Yeah. By the way, there's a really cool shirt that's for sale at the Tampa Bay sports store. That's for sale, and it's like a poster kind of thing that they put on a T-shirt, and it's him like walking his cat. It's like a cartoon kind of looking thing. it's for a good cause. When you buy one, money goes to a certain cause, and I don't remember what it is. But if you're a Mikhail Sergachev fan, like, definitely check that out because it's kind of cool. Apparently, they're going to have, I think they're having some for each player or a couple players, so be on the lookout for that. But, you know, I don't think they were happy with themselves, which they shouldn't be, but I don't think they need to beat themselves up over it. There are a couple, like, I feel like there are things that they can fix quickly. So, did you just see the shirt?
Yes. I love Sergachev and that cat.
I think he walks his cat on a leash. I think that's just hilarious. And apparently it's a very rare kind of expensive cat too. So I get it. Why you wouldn't want to let your cat just out if it's like an expensive kind of cat. Mm. But I think that's a good cat. Walk one on a leash. But yeah, definitely check that out as well. Lots of things that the Lightning are doing. I'll just kind of give you a heads up. I believe the tap room is being open for games, and I'm currently looking for the email, but it's on for Thunder Alley. And I believe it's open.
You have to put deposit down. You have to call in advance. It's not a free for all.
Okay. Yeah, all the information is on the Tampa Bay Lightning's website. So it will be open for playoff games. You can join the Bolts each game day starting 2 hours prior to puck drop for the second round. Lightning alumni, Thunderbug, and free swag. You can score throughout the game. It's on Thunder Alley. It's under the garage that's on the end of Thunder Alley. And I didn't even know that was there until, like, I think I was on for a walk and I walked around the plaza. I'm like, oh, there's a restaurant in there now. But it looks really cool. But fans must reserve a table with advance payment that will be applied to your order on site. One pass is good for the entire party, $25 for a 2-person table and $50 for a 4-person table. Each reservation.
That's nothing.
Now, each reservation receives complimentary bottled water and popcorn upon arrival. And like I said, the reservation fee will be applied to the bill upon checkout. So it's not like you're having to pay on top of whatever you buy.
Yeah.
And you can also walk up and take out and pre-order online. So you can take it at home and eat it. So if you're wanting to get out and watch the game in a safe, socially distanced manner, they're offering you that option. Or like me, who likes that my alcoholic beverages are not $40 for a drink, and there's no last call, and my concessions are always open, and I can watch TV on my couch. I'm good.
I'm not driving to Tampa for that, but
it's so far.
But you know, it's definitely cool. Always make sure you guys check out the Lightning website. They always have things going on during playoffs, and I'm sure we're missing a ton of it. So just go check it out.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago for season ticket holders, they did a tailgate party kind of thing where you had to sign up for a certain time, and you pulled into the back parking lot where the Lightning players park, and you parked in a Lightning player spot, and they have people who would spray chalk your window with like a Lightning it's a logo, but it's a stencil. Oh, okay. So they had a whole bunch of stencils that were like Distant Thunder, the Lightning logo, like all these different things, and you could tell them where you wanted it on your car, and they would spray chalk your back of your car for season ticket holders. Yeah. I went and I did it, and then you got some free swag, so I got a car flag and I got a sign. It was really cool.
How about that?
And then they were doing for season ticket holders, if you order something from the Tampa Bay Sports Store, like they would non-contactless pickup at your car. There's a way to do that. And then for everybody, they're doing game day eats, I think, still. Yeah. They were doing it for the first round where you can like literally pull in that circular driveway and pick up like food that you ordered online. So they're doing stuff. They're trying to keep us entertained, even though we have to be socially distant. So we'll see.
Yeah.
I'm just curious to see what'll happen for next season, because I was just seeing something that NFL fans will be able to be in stadiums starting in September. There's some kind of breaking news coming out. So it'll be interesting to see what next. I mean, we haven't even crowned a Stanley Cup winner, but I'm already thinking about next season, because if you're a Stanley, if you're a season ticket holder, you're already paying for next season. And so I'm just curious what it'll look like.
I don't know. It's December, so it's a few months away still. So maybe things will be a little more.
Can't believe a season's going to start in December.
I know.
Normally, we look at the Christmas break as like where people are going to fall in the spring.
Yeah.
So weird.
Just different.
Just different. The new normal.
Just different. The new normal.
All right. Well, again, I think we blabbed long enough. We're probably at 25 to 30 minutes now, where we didn't have a lot to say about game one, but we kind of went on a tangent. I'm not focused today. Okay. But next game coming up Tuesday, I believe it's on NBCSN. I'm almost positive. And it's either 7 or 7:30. I can't remember. They're all different times. Like,
I know. I thought last night's game was 7:30. It's 7:30. I'm like, what's the problem? On my phone, like, what's the problem? What do you mean waiting for the game? What
8 o'clock prime time, man. Prime time.
I can't keep it straight.
By the way, since I mentioned the Milbury thing, I kind of want to mention the Marc-Andre Fleury thing. Did you see what happened there?
I've seen both of them.
Wait, there were two? I only saw
one. I mean the Milbury and the Marc Fleury situation. So, and then I thought it was really interesting that Marc Fleury was the commercial that like opened up the game. I was on the NBC app, the sports app, watching, and the opening commercial wasn't for the NHL. It was for something.
Was it for the Apple iPhone? Because it's like Marc-Andre Fleury and another player for Vegas, and they're like tape. I love that commercial. I think it's so great.
Yep, that's it. And I was like, oh.
They've been showing that like every other break of the playoffs.
I didn't know if they would show it right now.
Well, I mean, here are the cliff notes, because it's been deleted, but you can see it anywhere if you Google Marc-Andre Fleury and tweet or whatever. So, Robin Lehner has been starting goaltender more or less since the playoffs started. Marc-Andre Fleury was the number one, but Robin Lehner has got the hot hand right now. So they're kind of riding the hot hand. And Marc-Andre Fleury's agent tweeted out a photo of Marc-Andre Fleury in his goalie regalia with a sword going through his back. And I don't remember if there was text that accompanied it, but you really only need to see the photo.
It was the coach's name.
Yes. So Marc-Andre Fleury was asked about it yesterday before the game. He said he asked his agent to delete it. He did, but once it's in the internets, it's everywhere. And he didn't really put to bed whether he knew he was going to tweet it or not. He kind of skirted the question, but he apparently had a conversation. Marc-Andre Fleury had a conversation with the players and the coaches, and it's been put to bed. And he says, I'm here to win with my team and whatever, you know, whatever. Cause Marc-Andre Fleury is a classy guy. Like he's one of my favorite players in the NHL. He has been, even when he played for the Penguins and they would beat our butts all the time. Still one of my favorite players. But he did the classy thing and said, you know, I'm here to win with my team and let's go. So it'll be interesting to see how that affects the teams.
Well, it didn't seem to affect them too bad in the last night, because I think they won like 5-0.
Oh, really? I was curious how that Vegas bad. Game went. Oof.
It was Vegas by a lot.
Vegas is scary.
Mm-hmm.
Vegas is scary. So, but yeah, so there seems to be a lot of drama in the bubble lately. I mean, Tuukka Rask leaving, Marc-Andre Fleury, like it's like a whole bunch of, it's like high school almost. No. The bubble. Like an episode of Saved by the Bell. I don't know. It's weird.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's perfect.
Right?
I love it.
AC Slater? Anyway, all right. Enough with of that here. Let's move on. And like we said, we'll have a special episode probably for you tomorrow. So make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode, because they're coming at different days and times, because we never know how long a game will be. 5 overtimes. We're just never sure. So make sure you subscribe and leave us a review. We will catch you next time on Game Misconduct.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.